last week I wanted to thank everyone for the chasna, for the Chanukah matana that you gave. But half the people weren't here, so I figured I'll wait for this week. There are fewer people. Okay. So I thank everyone for the excessive Chanukah matana. Let's see, last week we learned the Gemara Samach Beis Amar Aleph. There were different opinions regarding the mitzvah Piru Rivya. So Bishamai and the Mishnah say you have to have two sons. Basil say a son and a daughter. Then in the Brisa, there's Tosefta, there's another version of Bishamai. You have to have two sons and two daughters. And another version of Basil that you have to have one child. And then the Gemara had just a few lines from the bottom. Four lines from the bottom, we started that we left off in the middle. Hoyla bonim emesu. A person had four children, two children, one child, and the child died. Is he in fulfillment of Pirei V'Rivya? So Rav Huna has this unusual opinion that Pirei V'Rivya, the nature of the mitzvah Pirei V'Rivya, after Matan Torah changed, after Matan Torah, the nature of the mitzvah was umilas ha'aretz, to populate the earth. After Matan Torah, the nature of the mitzvah was to hasten the coming of Mashiach. That there's a chamber in heaven that's called Guf Gimel Vav Pei. And in the David Bo, the Mashiach will come, Mashiach will call Neshama Shebaguf. When all the Jewish Neshamas in that chamber in heaven will be born to the world, then Mashiach will come. So every time a Jewish baby is born, it's a step closer to Bias HaMashiach. And even if the child dies, we brought out another soul from the chamber of Guf. Mechudish de Geshit. Yeah, we agree with Rav Huna that we assume there is an obligation to hasten the coming of Mashiach. What we mentioned, the Rambam writes in Yigeres Teiman to the community. The Rambam didn't live in Teiman. The Rambam lived in Egypt, but they sent him a letter about there was a person in Teiman who claimed that he was the Melech HaMashiach. So the Rambam writes that we all have an obligation to hasten the coming of Mashiach. How do you do that? We don't control it. So he says we have to daven every day. So every day in the week that we say, please hasten the coming of Mashiach. That's all we can do. So we gave a mashal. The Rambam doesn't give the mashal. We gave a mashal by Bika Cholim. That the Gemara in the Dorm says the obligation of Bika Cholim is to heal the patient. So in the days of the Gemara, they didn't have doctors and nurses. So to heal the patient meant to sweep the floor, to clean the room out, to see to it that he changes the sheet, and you bring him some warm soup, whatever, bring him some medication. But today, if the patient is in the hospital, so the doctors, the nurses are cleaning out the room, and the nurses are changing the pajamas and changing the sheets on the bed, and the doctors are prescribing the medication, everything is taken care of, so what can you do? So number one, we can cheer him up. If you cheer up the patient, so there's a better chance that he'll heal faster. Number two, the Ramban is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. If you don't offer a tefillah that the cholah should get better, you haven't done the maximum in your power to heal him. You have to daven. If you go be mevakeh cholah, you don't daven. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Ramban that you're not yours. So that's like the Rambam says, we have an obligation to hasten the coming of Mashiach, but we don't control Mashiach, so we have to daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam every day. But that's not, we don't pasken like Rav Huna. We pasken like Rabbi Yechonon that you're not yotze Pirei V'Rivya. The idea of Pirei V'Rivya, after Matan Torah, the nature of the mitzvah changed. It's no longer milos ha'aretz to populate the earth. It's rather to transmit Yiddishkeit to the next generation. And that's why many poskim say, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that kol hamagadol yosem etoch beiso, malol ha'vakasem ki li yolodai. If a couple doesn't have children, and they adopt, and they raise the child in a teredika way, or if a person, koy ma'ashem l'sarisim, those who can't have any children, so the pasuk recommends, ma'chazikim bivrisi, they should support yeshivas. So that's how the Chafetz Chaim translates that pasuk. It was in today's Haftarah. Machzikim bivrisi means to support yeshivas, to transmit Yiddishkeit. The mitzvah b'shalei Musa is to transmit Yiddishkeit to your own children. And the mitzvah shalom b'shalei Musa is to see to it that Yiddishkeit should be transmitted to the next generation. If you adopt, or if a person, Berazai, was a Tana, he was teaching Torah in public. So that's a partial kiyama mitzvah of Pirei V'Rivya. So the Gemara here has the kasha. We got to the last line. The Gemara says, Meisvei. How can Rav Huna say that Hoyel Abonim Meisu, you're in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Pirei V'Rivya? We have, and if, let's say, if a person had children, oh, that's going to be the Brisa. The Brisa says, B'nei Bonim Harei Hen Kibonim. The Brisa says with respect to that Brisa is here in it's a Brisa in connection with the mitzvah Piri. There's Grad in this week's Sedra. B'nei Banim Harenke Banim is in this week's Sedra. The Yankel Avinu says about Ephraim and Menashe, Kiruvim Meshem and Yerali. Yankel Avinu had all the 12 children, all the Shvatim. And then he says his grandchildren, Ephraim and Menashe, the grandchildren, B'nei Banim Harenke Banim is also Kiruvim Meshem and Yerali. He said, I'm going to get to something else, that he was told B'nevuah that he's going to have another Shevet, but his wives didn't have any more children. So what do you mean, Goy Kalkoim and Melochim and Chalatzach? He'd say, where is he going to have another Shevet? So he understood, Rashi quotes from the Medrash, he understood that he had the right to divide one of the Shvatim into two. So he divided Yosef into two, Menashe and Ephraim. So that's the mocker for this idea, B'nei Banim Harem Kibon. But that only shows you B'nei Banim. What about B'nei Banos? That's what Rashi says. The Gemara here is going to work on that. Maybe B'nei Banim is Kibbonim. Maybe B'nei Banos are not Kibbonim. The Gemara is going to prove in the Pasuk by Lavan. That Lavan says, when Yaakov Avinu snuck out and he left, and he didn't even notify Lavan that he's leaving. So Lavan chased after him, and he caught up with Yaakov Avinu. And so Yaakov Avinu, he says, how come you didn't tell me that you're leaving? I would have made a farewell party. With the meditation of Shalom. So Yaakov Avinu says he was afraid that he won't let him leave. He'll harm the children. He says, what do you mean? Habanim banavat, banim benoisai. He's referring to the grandchildren. So he says, they're my children. So you see that even he was the grandfather, he was the father of the mothers. He wasn't the father of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu came from Eretz Yisrael. He was the father of Rachav Aleya and Bila Vizivka, Bila Vizilpa. So you see, that's what Rashi points out. You see from the Pasuk by Lavan in Bereshit chapter Lamed Aleph that the Gemara quotes here, about 13 lines from the top, you see that even B'nei Banos are also Kibbon. But I'll call upon the top line, so the Gemara quotes a Braisa in the context of Piri Verivya, that one is in fulfillment of Piri Verivya by having B'nei Banos. What does it mean? If a person has a child and the child dies before he had a chance to have his own children, so you're not Yotzei Piri V'Rivya. Not like Rav Huna says. If you have a child, you brought down the neshama from the goof, another Jewish neshama was born, so you hasten the coming of Mashiach. You see from the Braisa, not like Rav Huna. The Braisa says, if I had a child and the child already had his own child, and then my child dies, so since he already had his own child, B'nei Banim, Harim Ki Banim, the grandchild can substitute for the child. The whole purpose of Piri V'Rivya is to have children who will be able to have their own children. They already have their own children. So don't you see the favorish against Rav Huna? That if the child dies before he had his own child, that you're not here to Piri V'Rivya. Only B'nei Banim Harein Ki Banim. And for the Gemara, according to Rav Huna, we'll have to reinterpret that braisa. What it means is like this. In order to fulfill Piri V'Rivya, you have to have a son and a daughter. So what if I had only a son, and that son had a daughter? So, B'nei Banim Harem Ki Banim, it's Farechent as if, and then the son dies and the daughter, and the granddaughter dies. Or I had, let's say, a daughter, and the daughter got married, she had a son. So I have a daughter, and I have a grandson, and they both died. And no more descendants from them. That's the end of the line. So that according to Rav Huna, you were Yotzei Piri V'Rivya. That's what the Braisa means. After the Marki Tanya, that Braisa that says B'nei Banim Harein Ki Banim doesn't mean that if I had children and the children died after they had their own children, then I'm in fulfillment. No, Ki Tanya, even if they didn't have their own children, I would be Yotzei Piri V'Rivya. That Braisa means Lahashlim. I only had a son, and the son had a daughter. So I have a son and a granddaughter, and even if they both died, I was Yotzei Piri V'Rivya. That's how Rav Huna thinks. Even if you don't pass like Rav Huna, that's how Rav Huna thinks. Even if the son and the daughter died before they themselves had their own children, you're still Yotzei. Frag the Gemara Meisve, it's a Beferish Braisa, but a Tosefta. Beferish Tosefta, not like Rav Huna. The Gemara says it's going to be a Tiyufta to Rav Huna. The Gemara Meisve, it's a Beferish Braisa that is not correct. B'nei Banim Harein Ki Banim, what happened? It says, if you have a child and the child dies before he had his own children, So you're not Yotzei Peri Revi. Or you had a son and a daughter, and they are Saras Islandists. We know that they won't be able to have any children. But Derech HaTeva, they can't have any children. Then you're not Yotzei Peri Revi. So what does it mean? So the, we quoted before the first line, B'nei Banim Harein Kibanim. So the Gemara thought, on the top line on the Amud, the Gemara thought that that's what the Brisa means. That if I had a son and a daughter, and they themselves had children, and then they die, so it's a Piravivya, because they had children, so the Jewish line is going to continue into the future. So Rav Huna reinterpreted that first line, B'nei Banim Harein Kibanim, does mean that. It means I had one, I had a son, and the son had a daughter. So the son and the granddaughter add up to a zacher and a kate. That's what Rav Huna reinterpreting. I said, no, that's not what it says in the Braisa. So they quote the full text of the Braisa. But if the child dies, and Nipsasar, he said, not yes. It says, to yufta the Rav Huna. We don't pass like Rav Huna, because it's not correct. That's the halacha. You have to have a son and a daughter who will be able to have their own children. Yeah. So now the Gemara has a shaila about the details of that din. Let's say a person has a son and a daughter, then the daughter had a son, and the daughter dies. So I'm left now with a son and a grandson. So a son and a grandson is two zachar, but I don't have a zachar and an akeda. Am I yotzei or not? I originally had a son and a daughter, and each one of them had a child. The son had a son, and the daughter had a son. Or let's say I have a son and a daughter, and each one had a daughter, and they both died. And my Yotzei Peri Revi, I had a son and a daughter, and they only had one child each. So they weren't Yotzei Peri Revi, but my Yotzei Peri Revi. So the Gemara said, B'nei Banim Harein Kibanim. If you have a grandchild, a descendant from the child who, I had a child who died, but that child had a descendant, had a child, so then the grandfather is Yotzei. So the Gemara has a machlokes Abai Barav about the details of that. Then, so Abai Lameimar, Abai initially thought, for some reason or another, that having sons is a bigger mila than having daughters. Why should it be a bigger mila than having a daughter? That's a Gemara. In the end of Kiddushin, the Gemara has such a statement. The world can't exist if you, unless you have male and female. You just have male. Not going to have any daughters, so no one's going to give birth to any baby. You have to have male and female. But Asher Yodam Shebonim Zecharim, Oyladam Shebonim Lekemis. You're more fortunate if you have boys than if you have girls. Why is it better to have boys than to have girls? So the quote from the Vilna Gaon, that the Gemara is before the Chaim de Rabbeinu Gershom. So if you have sons, the sons can marry many wives. So you can have many grandchildren. Let's say each woman, let's say, has two children. What's the average by the Jews? I don't know. Let's say each woman has two children. What?
Depends which neighborhood.
Okay. Correct. So if a person has a daughter can only have two children, depending which neighborhood, okay? But if you have a son, the son can have three wives, and each wife can have two children. So you have more. That's why. That's a shadow the Gemara has in the end of Brachas, that if my wife gives birth to a boy, so you say a special bracha. You say shachyanu when your wife has a baby boy. What if the wife has a baby girl? So apparently there's no bracha. So that's the question. What about Bizman Hazeh? After the Chaim de Rabbeinu Gershom, there's no mila to have a son over a daughter, the way they quote from the Vilna Gaon. So maybe you should say, they say the name of Rabbi Soloveitchik that he said like that. People ask them, what if your wife has a girl and you're just as happy when she has a girl as when she would have had a boy? They don't feel saddened by that. So he said that you say Shechyan if you have a girl also.
The Gaon's word is on the Moin Baba Basra by Abud and Shmo, Rabbi Baba Yolim, and he said, Nichum and Shohebo Nicham Kavicha. So why? It's a personal Nichum and Shohebo Nicham Kavicha. He had a daughter. And the other one said, Rabbi Barley Oilam. So personally, better they have the Zohar. But for the world, like you explained, it's better to have an Akeva. Come on, in Baba Basra, Tesvav, I think, by Avon.
Don't you remember
it? Right? Baba Basra.
Mm-hmm. So that's how Abai is also working here on the assumption that it's better to have a boy than to have a girl. The Golden Gun is quoted, that's probably the reason why. If you have a boy, so the boy can marry many wives and can have more children. If you have a girl, the girl can only have whatever, two or three children, that's it. Sure.
It's in the Aliyah, said Eliyahu, at the end of the Torah.
Uh-huh.
That boy.
Okay. So the Gemara says, Sabra Abai Lameima. Initially, Abai thought, before Rava disagreed with him, Sabra Abai Lameima, he thought that perhaps the din should be Bro Lebro, Ubrato Lebrato. I had a son, the son had a son, then the son dies. I had a daughter, and the daughter gave birth to a daughter, and then she died. So I left with a grandson and a granddaughter. The son had a... So the son died before he had... The son only had a son. So the son wasn't Yotze Piriri, but I was Yotze Piriri. I had a son and a daughter, and the son had a son, and the daughter had a daughter. And then the son dies, and the daughter dies. So I have a grandson and a granddaughter. So that's... So the grandfather doesn't have to have more children. The grandfather was Yotze Piriri Rivi. So Abai thought, if the son leaves the son, the daughter leaves the daughter, so they replace themselves. With Kolshkein brought a brata. Why is it a Kolshkein? Because it's better to have a son than to have a daughter. So Tosis is bothered with the kashet, but we don't paskan like Bishama. You have to have a son and a daughter to be Yotze Piriri Rivi. If you have two sons, so Bishama say that you Yotze. But the Poshab Shat in the Bavli is, the Yerushalmi, Davdenez has a whole tshuva about this. The Yerushalmi claims that when Beis Hillel say Zohar Nekeva, they mean even if you have Zohar Nekeva, if you have two Zohar, it's certainly good. If you have Zohar Nekeva, even that is good. But the Bavli doesn't seem to learn like that. The Bavli holds according to Beis Hillel. They learn that in Briyasa Shalayim, when the Rabban Shalom created the world, he created Adam and Chava. So you have to have a son and a daughter. Everyone has to do like the Rabban Shalom, make a Zohar and a Kevah. So why does Abai make a Kavachayim? He says over here, because came brought the brata, if I had a son and a daughter, and the son had a son, and the daughter had a son, and then the son and the daughter both die, so I'm left with two grandsons. So Mar says, that's Kolshkein that he is. So Tosis says, brother, why is it a Kolshkein? According to Beis Hillel, you have to have a son and a daughter. If you have two sons, you're not Yotze. So if you have grandchildren, both are grandsons. I had a son who died, and he only left the son. I have a daughter who died, and she left the son. So Abai says, Kolshkein that Yotze. Why? It's not a Kolshkein. Usually, if you have two sons, you're not Yotze. So that's a problem. Okay. Tosis works it out. Abol, Abai thought originally, Brata Libro Lo. If I have a son and a daughter, and each one of them had a daughter, and they both died. So Abai thought that the grandfather has to try to have more children. In his old age, he has to marry another wife or whatever, have more children, because his son and his daughter both died, and the son only left a daughter, a granddaughter, Hastis, for the grandfather. So Abai thought that you're not Yotze. And Rabbi disagrees with Abai. That's Abai thought originally to say like that. Sounds like he backed out when Rabbi argued with Amalei. Rabbi, no. The whole idea of Piririvya is to have to have more Jewish population, to transmit Yiddish values to the next generation. Okay, so he has two grandchildren. As long as I had a son and a daughter, and each one replaced themselves by having one child. So that's how we pass on Allah. So the Gemara says, but this, the Gamsa Machlekes Abai Barava only is, if I had a son and a daughter, and each one had, let's say, a daughter. The daughter had a daughter, and the son had a daughter, and the son and the daughter both died. Is the grandfather still in fulfillment of Piriri Rivya? Does he have to try to have more children? So we pass like Rava that you are Yotze. But the Gemara says, the Kuli Alma Mihas, but Bein La Bai, Bein La Rava, this they both agree. Trei Mechad Lo. If I only have one child, that one child has a son and a daughter. Sounds like they both agree that you're not Yotze Piriri Rivya. Freg the Gemara, but we have an incident. We had a Maisa Shahoya. V'ha'amrile Rabbonon Le Rav Sheshes, the Talmidim in the Yeshiva, raised an issue by Rav Sheshes, and he wasn't married, or he was married, his wife couldn't have children, whatever the story was. So they told him, Nesiv Itzava Oled Bani, why don't you go get married and have more children in order to be able to have some children to be able to be Rav Rivya. The Omalahu, so he told them, Bnei Brati Bonai Ninu, I had one daughter, he had one daughter, and that daughter had a few children. So he says, I'm Yotze Piriri Rivya with the grandchildren that I have. So the Gemara said, but both Abai and Rabba hold, obviously, that you're not Yotze. You have to have a son and a daughter, and each one of them has to replace himself by having a son or a daughter. But if you only have one child, and that child has 10 children, so you have 10 grandchildren, but you only have one child, so Ben Labai, Ben Labai, Kuli Amamias, they all agree that you're not Yotze Piriri Rivya. So the Gemara asks, so why do Rav Sheshes say, Bnei Brati, the children that my daughter has, Abana and Nina, they're considered my children, and I'm Yotze Pirei Rebbe with the grandchildren. It's very big Gemara, but that's not like Abai, not like Rava. And for the Gemara, no, that wasn't the true story. They didn't, the Talmidim who were encouraging Rav Sheshes that he should marry and have more children, the real story was that he became an Okar. He wasn't able to have any children, but he didn't have to go advertise it to the public. So when the Talmidim in Yeshiva encouraged him, why don't you get married and have some more children? So he said, instead of saying, I'm not physically healthy enough, I'm not able to have children, so Hasan Duchu Yikamatchiluhu, that was a teretz. It wasn't the real truth. When he said, I was Yetzipir Rebbe with the fact that I have 10 grandchildren, that's not the real truth. The Rav Sheshri, he became an Okar. He wasn't able to have any more children because he used to attend Rav Huna's shir. Huna used to give a shir forever. He would talk and talk and talk. And Rav Sheshis, out of respect, wouldn't leave in the middle. And if a person has to go to the Beis HaKisek to urinate, then he holds it in. So the Gemara considers that medical problem that can cause one to become an Okar. So that's what the Gemara says. Rav Sheshis, he became an Okar. The Pirkei de Rav Huna, from the public shurim de Rav Huna gave, because he gave the shurim so long, and he was embarrassed to walk out in the middle, so that caused him to become an Okar later in life. Okay.
He was teaching them the wrong halakha.
Yes. It's not right. It's not right to give such long shurim. Okay.
Oh,
Rav Sheshes were misleading them. Oh. Yeah, okay. That's a serious question. He was misleading them into thinking that you had some pirate of your grandchildren and did is not true. I don't know. That is a good kash. I don't know.
It's a very good. You could have two children, a boy and a girl, and then pass the shalom that you die, and pass the shalom they die after. And they take away the mitzvah from you.
Yeah. If it looks like the children are going to get married, but the Arachatav looks like they're going to get married, so then you exit period. But if you know in advance that there's a Soros, an island, so they're just not going to get married, then you have to have more children. Then you're not yet say the period. You have to have a son and a daughter who are able to have their own children. So even though each one of them only had one child, and you're left with two granddaughters or left with two grandsons, you don't have a Zohar and a Nekeva. So you had a Zohar and a Nekeva, and each one replaced himself. So they themselves only had one child each, so they weren't Yotzei Pirei Rebbe. But the grandfather was, because he had a son and a daughter, and each one replaced himself. Yeah, I don't know. You ask a good question. He's misleading the Talmidim into believing that Yotzei Pirei Rebbe have grandchildren. That's a strong kash. I don't know. So now the Gemara raises the question again about the Bnei Banim Harei Enki Banim. So the Gemara says, Menoha Milsa Dam Rabbanah. How do we know what's the source of that din, that Bnei Banim Harei Enki Banim? What is the Mokar? So Rashi says, we're asking about Bnei Banos. Bnei Banim, you know, Taka from Ephraim and Menashe, Kiruvim, Hashem, and Yehieli. But how do you know Bnei Banos is also Kibban? Menoha Milsa Zag de Gemara, I Lema, if you should say, Midachsiv, that when Lavan, when Yaakov Avinu ran away from Lavan's home, and he didn't notify Lavan in advance. Now Lavan chased after him, and then he said, what did you hide for? I would have made it Tzeitzchem L'Sholem. So he says, I was afraid you're going to harm my children. He says, what do you mean? Abonis benois of Abonim Bonai. The granddaughters, they're my children, Abonim Bonai. So he's talking as if Bnei Bonim Harei, even Bnei Bonis Harei Kibonim. So the Gemara says, it can't be that. In other words, the Gemara is assuming that that's not necessarily the quote, the verbatim quote of what Lavan said. The Ribon Shalom dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu. So when the Mefarshim HaChumash say, when the Chumash quotes somebody is speaking, Paro said something, Yosef said something, Lavan said something, you can learn that dinim from everybody, because we're not learning out from what Lavan said. The Heilige Lavan was such a big tzaddik that we learn out. The way the Ribon Shalom dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, he dictated Chumash right. The Ribon Shalom put the words into Lavan's mouth. It doesn't mean it's not a lie. It's not a lie. He said something like this, but he didn't say this lashon. Ribon Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, write it like this to teach Bnei Yisrael this din that Bnei Banim Harem Kibanim. So the Gemara says that cannot be because the pasuk continues there. Abanis Bnei Yisrael Abanibanib Hatzon Tzani B'chol Hashatera Lihu. You got the behemoths from me also. So that's not based on Bnei Banim Harem Kibanim. The Gemara says, Elamayata, the Pasuk is intending to tell us a halacha, that lashon. What about Vatzon Tzoni, Hachanami? So tell me your halacha. No. Ela, what it means is, the konis minoi, everything you have, you got from me. That's what he meant. The behemoth, he got from Hachanami, the konis minoi, the daughters, the grandchildren, he got everything. He doesn't mean to imply B'nai Barim, Harayin Kibarim. Gemara says, no, it's based on a different Pasuk. Elamayacha. This idea, B'nai Barim, Harayin Kibarim, is based on a different Pasuk. The Pasuk says, where is it in Divrei Hayamim? V'achar, afterwards, bo chetzron el bas mochir, avi gilad. He was from Shevet b'nei Bacha ben Menashe, from Shevet ben Asher. So chetzron was from Shevet ben Asher, and Nachamon, no, bas mochir avi gilad, that was Shevet ben Asher. He was, chetzron was from Shevet Yehuda. So what is it? But tedad lo yasegu v'chsiv mini mochir yode mechokikim v'chsiv mochir was the grandfather from the mother's side. The grandfather from the mother's side. Chetzron was from Shevet Yehuda and he married a girl from Shevet Menashe, mochir ben Menashe. So and the pasuk says descendants of Yehuda, Yehuda mechokiki, descendants of Yehuda were involved in psak halacha. And who was that? He was Mini Machayor, the Machokin, that were really the descendants, the children of this Chetzron. And we refer to the grandchildren, B'nai Bonim, of the mother's father. Of the mother's father, were Machokin, were Poske Halacha. So you see that even B'nai Bonim is also Harayin Kibon. Yeah. What's the halachic significance of this din? Other than B'nai Banim Harayin, it's going to get to Piri Viridi. Okay. Where else is it relevant, B'nai Banim Harayin Kibbonim? So some say B'nai get to Bris Milo. Then when you have a Bris, so the father's Mechuyiv Lomalos Abayin. The mother is not Mechuyiv, the father's Mechuyiv. What if the father is not alive? Or the father, whatever, the father's not here. He's in the army somewhere. He's not around. Does the grandfather have a Kedima over anybody else? Usually, the moil says, right, if the father doesn't take care of the bris milah, then the bezin has to take care of it. If the bezin doesn't take care of the bris milah, then everyone, or the whole Jewish community has to see to it that the child gets a bris milah. So the shaila is, let's say, if the father is dead, so the moil says the bracha ala milah, then the father says the bracha lachnisim b'risa shol Avraham Avinu. What if the father's not there? It says in Shulchan Aruch that the Sandik should say the bracha. Let's say the Sandik is the rabbi, the local rabbi. But what if there's a grandfather there? So you still say the Sandik should say the bracha lach nisai. Or maybe the grandfather, the father's father, should say the bracha. The mother's father probably not mechuyiv, because the mother is not mechuyiv in milas habein. So the mother's father probably nishken mechutn over here. The child is the father's father. So the poskim quote is a tshuva in Rebbe Kivega where he recommends like that. If the Sandik is the local rabbi and the father's father is alive and he's by the bris, so we should be mechabed the father's father because b'nei banim harayin kibbonim. So the father's father has more of an obligation to take care of the bris than the Sandik, than the bezin, than Kol Yisrael. And some achrayim even say b'nei get the pinyan ben also that if the, let's say the father's not alive or the father's away out of town, whatever, he can't attend the pinyan ben for some reason or another. And the grandfather is there, so we would prefer that the grandfather should do the pinyan aben rather than to have the bezin do the pinyan aben.
Eidus,
we have rules and regulations. Who's posel eidus? Yeah, great. The din is that if you have two brothers, that's called Rishon Barishon. So they're posel eidus. So two brothers have children, so that first cousins are called Sheni B'Sheni. Second generation, Sheni B'Sheni is also posel eidus. Not only Sheni B'Sheni, two cousins, if you have one is a boy and one is a girl, cousins, and one of them, and the girl is married, so also they're posel eidus. Sheni B'Sheni with one Balki Yishta. If you have two girls who are cousins and they're both married, you don't say on the level of Sheni B'Sheni, first cousin, you don't say Balki Yishta twice. You only say Balki Yishta once. On the level of Rishon B'Sheni, let's say you have an aunt and a niece, and the aunt is married and the niece is married. So that's called Rishon B'Sheni. Rishon is the first generation, Sheni is second generation. So you have my mother and has a sister. So the sister with me is a Rishon B'Sheni. That's a Rishon B'Sheni. So a Rishon B'Sheni is a Machlekes Rishon, but they say Bal Kishta twice. They say Bal Kishta once. Let's say my mother's sister is married. So my uncle with me is a Psuliatis. They say Bal Kishta once, but they say Bal Kishta twice is two opinions in Shulchan Aruch Machlekes between the Balamar and the Ramban in Sanhedrin. Yeah. So, but then let's say you have Shlishi Berishan. Let's say my grandfather's brother. In other words, my great uncle. My mother's uncle. My grandfather's brother, that's called Shlishi. That's called Rishon B'Shlishi. The grandfather's one generation. He and his brother, that's one generation. Rishon B'Rishon. And then my mother's second generation. And I'm the third generation. So what about my great uncle with me? Is a Rishon B'Shlishi. So the Gemara says it's kosher. One man dharma, the Gemara says in Yesh Nechman that it's kosher. So if you hold Rishon B'Shlishi is kosher, so one opinion is so grandfather and a grandson kosher latest because it's also Rishon B'Shlishi. The Gemara says we don't paskin like that. We don't paskin like that. So why do we not paskin like that? So there are three different opinions in the Rishonim there. So some Rishonim say, the Rashbam says, that's in Yesh Nechla, Rashbam says, no. Avram Avinu is pasalaitis to all of his direct descendants. B'nei Banim Harein Kibbanim goes all the way down. All the way down. 100 generations later, B'nei Banim Harein Kibbanim. So, another opinion is that it's not correct the way we assessed it. My great uncle and me, that's the third generation, that's Rishon B'Shlishi. Rishon B'Shlishi is kosher latest, but the grandfather and the grandson is not called Rishon B'Shlishi. That's called Rishon B'Sheni. Why? Just like two brothers are Rishon B'Rishon, so father and his son are also Rishon B'Rishon. Even though it's a different generation, father and his son is Rishon B'Rishon. The son with his son is also Rishon B'Rishon, but the grandfather with the grandson is Rishon B'Sheni. Because the grandfather with his son is Rishon B'Rishon. The son with his son is Rishon B'Rishon. So the grandfather with the grandson is Rishon B'Sheni, but the great-grandfather with the great-grandson, that would be Rishon B'Shlishi, it would be kosher. That's the second opinion in Shulchan Aruch. Second opinion in the Rishonim. Why the Gemara says, V'leis hilchas kavos, we don't paskin like that. Then the third opinion is, V'leis hilchas kavos, because we paskin Rishon B'Shlishi is pasul. It's pasul latest. Even the great-uncle with the great-nephew is also pasul latest. Rishon B'Shlishi is pasul latest. It's important to know when you sign a ksuba. I was at a wedding a couple of months ago. So it was Rebbetzin Gifter was at the wedding. She's almost 100 years old. So Rebbetzin Gifter was all dressed up. She was at the wedding. And the kala was her great-granddaughter. Distantly related. So when they were reading, when they were signing the ksuba, so they weren't paying attention. So the chassan's father picked one aide, and the kala's father picked one aide. So the chassan's father picked an aide who was distantly related, like a fifth cousin of Mrs. Gifter. So under the chuppah, they're reading the ksuba, so they almost got a heart attack. That one of the aidim who signed the ksuba was distantly related to Mrs. Mamish. It's off the charts. There isn't even a name for that. There's something like Shvi Bishmini or something. It's ridiculous. It's kosher latest, even with the biggest chum in the world. There's no psul over there. That's so signing the ksuba, we follow the dinim, whoever is pasul latest. So first cousins are pasul latest, second cousins is called Shlisha Bishlishi. That's kosher latest. And great uncle, we're machmer on that you shouldn't have the grandfather's brother with his great nephew, shouldn't sign together. But it's that as far as it goes. When it comes to Eidah Kiddushin, that's more serious. So there is a minig that you don't even allow Revi Bervi with two Baal Kishtas. Revi Bervi means third cousin. Sheni Vesheni is first cousin. Shlishi Vesheni is second cousins. Revi Bervi is third cousins. So I remember I was once at a wedding. It was soon after I got married, a year or two after I got married. So I knew my wife's whole family then. Now I don't remember who's who or any. So as I was walking up, they called me up to be an aide with another fellow, Lieberman, from Chicago, and Mario Baron Soloveitchik's niece. I think he lives in Chicago.
Yosef Lieberman.
Yeah, so he's a Revi, with two Bakhishtas with me. So as I was walking up to the chuppah, I made the cheshbon that, in other words, his wife and my wife are third cousins. So that's called Revi, Revi, with two, and we're both, married. We're both married to the Revi, Revi. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, we're machmir, you shouldn't have any kedushin like that. But I didn't, the Masada Kedushim was Rabbi Soloveitchik, the Rav, so I wasn't going to say, I thought he would laugh his head off, because the Chumah doesn't make any sense. I didn't say anything. But afterwards, I told Lieberman that next time we should try to avoid it, we shouldn't be. There is such a meaning on the books, that for the Eidi Kedushim, you shouldn't have, up until Revi Revi with two Balkishtas. But here, it was ridiculous, it wasn't even Revi Revi with two Balkishtas. It was mamish nothing to discuss. It was a great-grandmother's third cousin, or some like fifth cousin. It's ridiculous. It's not a shayla. So where else do you say, yeah, by psuliatus? Some Rishonim say, B'nei Banim, Harin Kibbonim, that Avraham Avinu, with all of his direct descendants, B'nei Banim, Kibbonim, Banim, Avraham Avinu, is psuliatus to all of his direct descendants. There is such a shita. In Shulchan Aruch, they have, in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, the minigo is where he call up to an aliyah, Pliny ben Pliny. So what if his father was a noted Rasha? What if the father of the one who's getting the Aliyah is a noted Rasha? So he'll be embarrassed if you call him up by his father's name, Pliny ben Pliny. So what if you call him up by the grandfather's name? Instead of calling up Pliny ben his father, everybody knows the father's not at all, his father's anti-religious. So it's at Shulchan Aruch, you call him up ben the grandfather's name. So there's a whole discussion. Maybe it's only if you call him up by the grandfather from the father's side. If you call him by the grandfather from the mother's side, maybe it's only B'nai Banim, not B'nai Banas. Even though the Gemara comes to the conclusion that it's the same, Rashi says, the whole Medubra in the Gemara was about B'nai Banas. B'nai Banim we know already, that's Dava Pashut. Even B'nai Banas is also Kibbonim. So there is a discussion in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah. Maybe it's not there. Let's say you write a Ksuba. A couple is getting married. You don't want to write the father's name. Let's say the father divorced the mother and he wasn't invited to the wedding or whatever. They hate him. He was abusing. He was an abusive father. So the girl doesn't want to write her father's name. So can you write the grandfather's name? You say, B'nai Banim Harin Kibbonim, that you can write in the Ksuba the grandfather's name. So that's a discussion. Exactly how far do you go with this klala? B'nai Banim Harin Kibbonim. The original statement is going to get the Pirib Arivium, that you're not Yosef. If Meso Habonim, you're not Yosef. But if each one of the children had a son and a daughter, each one, before they died, they had one child, so Bnei Banim, okay, Banim, it's Tash. I'm Yosef Pirib Arivium with the grandchildren. But then they expanded. They expanded Bnei Banim, okay, Banim in other areas as well. That B'nai Banim?
Because she was his niece, not a sister, so I remember Rashi.
Mm-hmm. Don't remember already. Don't remember. Okay, we got to take a look.
Yeah. The reason why Kibbutz Abba Aim is your grandparents also, because you take B'nai Banim?
That's the Shaila. In last week's Sedra, it says that Yaakov Avinu, when he was leaving Eretz Yisrael to go down to Egypt, so it says, V'yizbasoch l'lekei aviv Yitzchak. So why does it say l'lekei aviv Yitzchak? Why not l'lekei aviv aviv? Avraham Avinu was the founder of the Jewish religion. The Baruch Hashem is called l'lekei Avraham. Why is only l'lekei aviv Yitzchak? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Chai Vorem Alamed, there's a stronger chiyuv kibbutz av to the father than there is to the grandfather. So that's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Kibbutz Av in Yerei Deis and Reish Mem. What does that mean? It means that there is a chiyuv kibbutz av to the grandfather also, but the chiyuv to the father is stronger than the chiyuv to the grandfather. Or maybe it means that there's no kibbutz av at all to the grandfather. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. There's no chiyuv kibbutz av at all to the grandfather. And then he quoted Gemara, the last daf in Saita. The Gemara said that the child was a Yosem and he was raised by the grandfather. The father's father raised him. And then when the child grew up and the grandfather asked him, can you make me a cup of coffee? So he said, strictly speaking, there's no chiyuv kibbutz av, but I love you, I'll be happy to make you a cup of coffee. So the Seif and that Gemara, it sounds like there's no din of keep it up to grandparents. Strictly speaking, it's only on parents. Yeah. So that's a machlokes, right? What do you say, keep it off? What do you say, b'nei banahar, and kebanim, and again, to keep it off? Okay. So now the Gemara has a new comment. The Mishnah says that once you have a son and a daughter, yotze. And then he's permitted, lo yivot on the periphery, let's say he loses his wife, he gets divorced, or the wife dies, and he wants to remarry. Does he have to remarry? Does he have to marry a woman who is able to have children? Or is he even permitted to marry a woman who is not able to have children? So the Gemara said he has to remarry. He shouldn't be bottled me isha. That was the first Gemara, Samach Aleph on the base after the Mishnah. The two different mitzvahs, one mitzvah to get married and one mitzvah to have children. So he has to, he should remarry, but he doesn't have to marry an isha who's a basbon. So the Gemara says that Mishnah that assumes that's it, you have a son and a daughter, that's it. So the Gemara says the Mishnah is masnisen the loyker Rabbi Shua. The Mishnah is in contradiction, in disagreement with the Tana Rabbi Shua. The Tana Rabbi Shua in there, nasi adam isha bialdusa. If a person married a girl when he was younger, and then he got divorced, or the wife passed away, isha biziknuso. He should remarry later. Mitzvah to remarry. Okay. But it doesn't yet talk about Piriribia, that next line. Hoyla bana bialdusa. If he gave birth to children when he was younger, he should remarry. Preferable is that he should remarry a woman who is a basbon. Yula banim biziknuso. He should try to have more children when he's older. Shenehemar. The pasuk Kehela says, Babekas Raza Echa goes to the instructions to the farmers. You should plant in the morning. Well, Erev, and even the evening, Al Tanach Yadecha, you should continue to plant in the evening. Wakencha Yadeh, can never tell. Eze Yikosher, which vegetables will grow, which grain will grow better. Hazeh Oizeh. What you planted in the morning may not grow. What you planted in the evening may grow better. And if they both grow well, it's avadigut. So you have twice as much vegetables, twice as much things to eat. So the Gemara, so the quote Rabbi Shua, who disagrees with the Mishnah. Mishnah says, if they have a son and a daughter, you have fulfilled the mitzvah, you're not obligated to have more. Rabbi Shua recommends, this is called Erev Al Tanach Yadecha. That's what in Shulchan Aruch they quote. It's not a chiyuv min haTorah, it's not a chiyuv min derabbanan, it's not a chiyuv min derekabbalah. It's in a certain sense, it's amidas chasidus. We encourage people to do it. We encourage people to do it. That's why they say in Shulchan Aruch that if my brother dies and he leaves no children, so I have to do either yibum or chalitza. So the Mishnah says in Bechairis, mitzvah yibum koydem is the mitzvah chalitza. The simple reading of the Chumash is like that. Preferable is she really preferred to do yibum. But if it's unreasonable, then you do chalitza. But mitzvah sivim is really kodemus l'mitzvah chalitza. So the Gemara says, v'koro lo ziknei iro. The Beznin should call the Yavam and discuss the issue with him. What is there to discuss? So let's say he is 65 years old and the Alman is only 19 years old. So does that make sense that the 65-year-old man should do yibum and he marries a 19-year-old girl? It's not going to be normal. So the Gemara says, or if he's only, she's 85 years old, the Alman is 85, and he's only 30 years old. So there's a too much of a gay, an age gap. So that when it says in the Pasuk, V'karo lo zikna iro, so the Gemara understands that to give him an Eitzah HaHugenis lo, they should try to guide him a little bit about the Shidduch. You shouldn't, even on Mitzvah Yidim Kodemis lo Mitzvah Chalitza, but if it's not reasonable, so you shouldn't. So they apply that over here also. That there is an inyan la'er about Tanach Yadecha. What, the guy's 90 years old. So he's going to be able to serve, he'll be able to function as a father and a little baby. He's going to take the kid to cheder. He's going to do the homework with the child. Or let's say another case, he already has a whole bunch of children. They're already married, they have their own children. Now he's going to marry another wife at the age of 80. And he's going to have another set of children. So there may be friction between the older children and the younger children. So whenever it's going to be a problem, so we don't recommend this midas chasidus. We assume the erev tanach edecha is a midas chasidus. And that's what we learned at first Tosfos. The bottom Tosfos on daf samach aleph on the base, nafkamina. The Tosfos had 2 days of dinners. It's, you're not allowed to sell a sefer Torah. Unless little Torah v'lisa isha, if a shul, let's say a shul has 25 sefer Torah, what do they need so many sefer Torah for? So they should. So they want to sell it, and they need money for the upkeep of the shul. So the din is you're not allowed to, when they sell a sefer Torah. The money that you get is if it's teifas damav. The whole din is midirabbanan, not midatorah. It's teifas damav. So you're not allowed to use that money for other purposes, unless lilma Torah. So you're not allowed to sell a sefer Torah and use the money for the upkeep of the shul. That's what we mentioned when we were discussing that. Today, that everybody pays by check, you don't pay by cash. So the Chazon Ish says that Peirush Shviyus, a Teifas D'Meim, it's only Teifas D'Amav if the person paid cash for it. If the Peirush Shviyus are still there, they weren't eaten up yet, and the person going to give money, so then it's Teifas D'Amav. That's a Din D'Raisa, Peirush Shviyus are Teifas D'Meim. So here, this is a Din V'Rabbanan, that the Sefer Torah of the Shul is Teifas D'Amav. But it's only Teifas D'Amav if the other people paid $30,000 in cash. But usually they're not going to pay in cash, they're going to give a check. So check means they have the right to draw against their account. All things all in the luften. But there is no idea of teifas damav. So that's what the poskim say. Whenever it wouldn't follow the rules and regulations, it doesn't follow the rules and regulations of the tefisa damav, so the whole din doesn't apply. But in the days of the Gemara, they didn't have checking accounts. So the din was, this is a din with the Rabbanim when you sell it, when the shul sells a sefer, a private person sells a sefer, it could be that the whole din doesn't apply. Many poskim doesn't apply. It's only a shul is teifas damav. Because the shul is like a mikdash miyat, and hegdash is teifas damav. Sefer Torah maybe is not teifas damav. Sefer Torah, a shul, is teifas damav, like selling a shul. So the Gemara says, this din with the Rabbanim, if you sell the shul, sells a sefer Torah, what are they going to do with the money? You can only use the money lilma Torah v'lisa yisha. If you have a yisayma to marry off, or you want to support a yeshiva, you want to support a talmid chacham, so then you're allowed to use that money because the whole din of teifas is damav that you're not allowed to use it for other purposes. Only by the rabbanim and Torah there is no such din over here by the sefer Torah. So you're allowed to use it only lilma Torah v'lisa yisha. So that's the shot. What about lisa yisha? The person was married and he already has children from the first wife, and then the first wife passed away. He wants to marry a second wife. But in order to marry an Isha Baz Bonim, he's going to need more money. She's going to be a younger woman. He has to have more money. Is he permitted to sell a Sefer Torah and to use the money not to fulfill the mitzvah of Pirur Rebbe? He fulfilled already. He has a son and a daughter from the first wife. He wants to fulfill this Midas Chasidus of Le'er Aval Tanach Yodechem. So Tosfos had two pshatim, that's an achlokes, two shaitas in Shulchan Aruch. Are you permitted to use the money from selling a Sefer Torah for the purpose of fulfilling Le'er Aval Tanach Yodechem? Maybe it's only for the purpose of fulfilling Pirur Rebbe Mamish. So that's a big machlokes in the Rishonim. Then the Gemara quotes Rabbi Akiva Eimer, based on the same pasuk in Koheles, you should plant in the morning, you should plant in the evening. Rabbi Kiva says the pasuk applies also. Lo matur bi aldusa yul matur bi ziknusa. The person learned when he was young, and then he went to work, and then he retired. So he should go back to learn more bi ziknusa. And not only he should go back to learn. Hoyelo talmidim bi aldusa yul abanim bi ziknusa. If he was teaching, Torah when he was younger, and he has many talmidim, he shouldn't retire unless he's not able to. That's not a big problem. By Rabbanim and Rebbe's and Yeshiva, it's a big problem. They don't know how to judge on themselves when it's time to step down. That's a very big problem. How do you explain to a rabbi or to a Rebbe in Yeshiva that it's time to step down? But Rebbe Kiva apparently was still spunky enough to give a good shiur. So he says, even though he had many talmidim when he was young, you should have talmidim when you're older, based on the same post. You should have a barakas asaracha, the gaimer omru. So the rabbis made a comment in connection with what Rabbi Akiva said. Rabbi Akiva had, there were many yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, zugim, talmidim, hoyalot, Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 charusas, means 24,000 talmidim. Each one of the 12,000 had a charusa, so 24,000 talmidim, hoyalot, Rabbi Akiva. Not in one yeshiva, migvas ad antiparas. The whole area in Eretz Yisrael, many different yeshivas. The kulna mesa, the perkechot, they all died the same. All the 24,000 died the same time of the Yom Neshul, and Ogkabet Zelaze, because they weren't mechabit each other. V'hoya ha'olam, this is a very pleiadic Gemara. Everybody asks, how can it be? If Rabbi Kiva is the one who used to preach that the Haftal Rachakam Bachazek, Lakol Batar, that's the most important mitzvah, how can it be that all the 24,000 students that he had, they all violated the din of the Haftal Rachakam Bachazek, the Chapela? So everybody, all the Balimusas say drushes. So here in New York, before Moshe came to America, the big Pesach in America was Rabbi Henkin. So they say over the name of Rabbi Henkin that that's not why they died. In all the history books, it says they went Bar Kokhba rebellion. They were all killed by the Romans and the revolution that they had there. I the Gemara says Lanog covers Alazeh. So he said everybody knew that that wasn't the real reason. The Tanaim were afraid to say it. That the real reason was that they were killed by the Romans. They were afraid the Romans are going to harass them some more. So they wrote, and they said, first they said, then they wrote it down, the most ridiculous reason that everybody knows is not true. Everybody knew that that's not what it meant. That's a code that really means that they were killed in the Bar Kokhba rebellion. Yeah, that's what everybody says over the name of Rav Henkin. They say it's not printed anywhere. He never printed it, but that's what they say in his name. So it says all the 24,000 students died. There was no, the world was lacking Torah. He went to a different location, and he had a few students, five students, and he taught the Torah Shabbat Peh to those. Who were the five students? Rab Meir, Rab Yudah, Rab Yosi, Rab Shimon, Rab Shimon Baichoy, and Rab Loza ben Shammah. Heim heim hamidu Torah oisu shom. These five students were the ones who restored the Torah. Like after the Second World War, the Nazis killed so many Talmid Chachamim. And then the Talmidim of all those yeshivas restored the Torah all over the world, in Eretz Yisrael, in America, in Europe. They had a job. So that's what happened over here. 24,000 students of Rabbi Kiva, they all died the same season of the year, same time. And Rabbi Kiva had to start teaching Torah all over again. When is it that they died? Tana, the Brisa says on the first white line, Christ said, "Zankul namesim Pesach v'adatzes." I mean, between Pesach and Shavuos. So, in the Chuvas of the Goinim in the tour in Hilchas Sfiras, it quotes from the Goinim that because of this tragedy that they all died, that's why we're knowing Miktzas Avelus during that period of the year. So, the different Minhagim exactly. They only observe Avelus 33 days, the first 33 days. The middle 30 days, whatever, different minhagim, some observe all the 49 days of Sphira, they observe Avelus. Yeah, it said in Shulchan Aruch, Miktas Avelus. Rav Soloveitchik used to say that there are three levels of Avelus, the Shiva, the Shloshim, and the Zid, Beschodesh, Alav, and Alima. So Shiva is the most severe, and Shloshim is a little less. And if a parent dies, then not only do you observe Shiva Shloshim, you have to observe Yud Beschodesh till the end of the year. You only say Kaddish till the end of 11 months, but the Avelis one has to observe till the end of the year. So Miktzas Avelis means the lightest form of Avelis. So that's why during the Sphira period, one should observe, it says the only two things that you don't do is you don't do Tisporis and Chasana. That corresponds to Yud Beis Chodesh. That's what the classical Poskim say. The Poskim quote the Panim Meir, it says like that. But Rav Soloveitchik presented it based on the Loshon HaGoyim. They say, you know, Miktzas Avelus. They say, Miktzas means the lightest form of Avelus. It doesn't make sense. He said, Menhagim also have to have a Mahalach. Just like there's a rule called the Tikkun Rabbanim came there. I said, Tikkun, whenever the Chachamim make a Takana de Rabbanim. So the building blocks of the Dinim de Rabbanim, you have to use concepts that exist on the level of Deraisa. The Gemara will sometimes prove what was the Din Deraisa. They'll quote the Din Derabbanan, and it must be that it was based on some Din Deraisa. So they'll prove what was the Din Deraisa based on what the Din Derabbanan is. It reflects on what the Dinim Deraisa were. So just like all the Tikkun Rabbanan came, Deraisa Tikkun, you have to use building blocks that exist on the level of Deraisa, because he wanted all the Dinim Derabbanan to blend in, to be part of the Torah Shabbat Pesach Minhagim also. You can't just have a minute to stand on your head every Tuesday night for 10 minutes between 8 o'clock and 8:10. If the doctors will ascertain that it's good for your blood circulation, so it's good. So v'nishmat me'od anav shesechem, you should have exercise and you should stand on your head for 10 minutes every Tuesday night. But if it doesn't correspond to any medical advice, what do you mean a minig? Even if for centuries we've been doing that, but if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. There's no such thing as it. It's a minig shtus. Minig shtus, a minig. Minig shtus means a minig. A minig shtus doesn't mean it doesn't have any reason. Every minig has a good reason. But it has to be a kiyum of something or another. It has to be able to fit in to the rest of the Torah. If there's no kiyum, so that's called a minig shtus. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. The minig to observe Avelis during Sfira has to correspond to some category of Avelis. So he said, Miktsas Avelis means the lightest form of Avelis. That's Yid Beis Chodesh. So that's what the Poskim say. The Pana Meiris says like that. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say, that when one is in Avelis after a parent died, so they wait till after Shloshim. The whole of Shloshim they don't shave, and after Shloshim they shave. Why is that? Because that's with respect to haircut, shaving, you're not allowed to shave or take haircut. Till he looks so bad that people would really tell him, you don't look good, you should take a haircut. So with respect to taking a haircut, so the Rama says, how long is that? So the Rama says, if he hasn't taken a haircut in 3 months, it doesn't mean he's in Avelis for 3 months. It depends, is it 3 months since the last haircut that he took? That's it's already 2.5 months he hasn't taken a haircut, and now he starts Avelis now. So during Shloshim, there's no heter to take a haircut if it's Yigar B'chaver. You have to wait till after Shloshim is up. It's going to be 3.5 months, but then it's already 3 months since he took the last haircut. So we assume that that's going to be Yigar B'chaver. So Moshe Feinstein writes in his Sefer that he doesn't think that it means 3 months. He thinks probably that he's reconstructing. He thinks probably in the days of the Ramah, they probably took a haircut every month and a half. So you should wait twice as long. So he said, but today, many people take a haircut once a month. So if we wait 2 months, it's genug. That's called Yigar B'chaver. And for shaving, so also a person shaves every day. So if you wait 2-3 days, wait a couple of days, so that's already Yigar B'chaver. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say, that in Sfira, you're not allowed to take a haircut, but you're allowed to shave, because it's Lach Shloshim. So people got all upset. He didn't invent it. That's what the classical Poskim quote, the Panim Meiri said like that. The Panim Meiri said like this, there are two girsas in Yevamos, earlier in Yevamos. Yevamos talks about people dying, and the wife, the spouse observing Avelis for the husband. So the Gemara talks about, how long does a woman have to wait to take a haircut if a parent died? So there are two girsas in the Gemara where the women, the din, that the men have to wait to take a haircut, does that apply to women also? But he say, no, for women, after the shloshim is up, it's already yigar b'chaver. They don't have to wait longer than that. So that in Shulchan Aruch, those two girsas in the Gemara come in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber Paskins Lahakil, that by women, if the shloshim is up, they can take a haircut right away. They don't have to wait longer. By women, it's called Yigar B'chaverev right away. Yigar B'chaverev is not a heter in the middle of shloshim, so as soon as the shloshim is up, they can take a haircut. And the Rama has the girsif and the Chachmei Ashkenaz, that just like men have to wait, Yigar B'chaverev. So women have to wait also. You don't say that it's automatically. So the Panim Meiri says, when it comes to Sfira, since you're just talking about a minig, so even though the Rama usually says that by women you also have to wait Yigar B'chaverev after Shloshim is up, but here the sphere is like Yud Beis Chodesh, even according to the Rama, the women can take a haircut. If they feel they need a haircut, they can take a haircut during the sphere. Because we consider women always Yigar B'chaverev. So he's assuming also like that, Beferish. The Panim Meiri says like that. I don't know why they got so upset about Rabbi Soloveitchik. He's just saying, oh, but Panimiris is one of the major classical poskim. Rabbi Soloveitchik said it with alumnus, though, that if you look at, he got it from the Bir Agro. Every time the Shulchan Aruch has a minig, so the Vilna Gaon always tells you what the minig is. There's always a good reason for a minig, but the Vilna Gaon always tells you which halacha is it based on. What are you being mekayim over here? If you have a minig that you're not the yotze any shita, usually the Gros says the minig is because of the Yotze, the Rabbein Tam, or a Ramban, or a Rashba, or a Girsa, this or that. There's a shita that you want to satisfy. So you want to be Yotze that shita. But just to have a good reason, but it's not, you're not, big, there's no kiyum in it. So that's what we call a minig shtus, that is not binding. Yeah. There's a Bir Agron, when we learned Chalitza, I think I mentioned it. There's a Bir Agron Hilchas Chalitza in Aramaic. When you say a knot, so the Aramaic word for a knot is chumarto. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they talk about when you do chalitza, so you have a leather shoe, and it has straps, like ritzuas of the tefillin. Soft ritzuas, black on one side, white on the other side, like ritzuas of tefillin. So you cross the ritzuas against the front of the leg and the back of the leg, back and forth. Then you make a knot on the front. So you make a bow, then you make a double knot on top of the bow, because there are two shittas in the Rishonim, whether it's supposed to have a kesher or gabi kesher, or dafke should not be a kesher or gabi kesher. So the Vilna Gaon makes fun over there. So he writes, the Vilna Gaon always gives you a Mar Mekaymus. So on one of the Chumers there, by the Nav, he writes, Chumarta de Chumarta. He's making a joke. He says, a Chumar on top of a Chumar. A Nat on top. Chumarta is a Nat. So he says, a Chumar on top of a Chumar. Everything is Chumers. He doesn't think that you have to be Machma that far. Yeah. So that's the marker for the Nihu Gavelis during Sphere. The Achrayim point out, if a person lost a parent and he has to observe Avelis Yud Beis Chodesh, if Ein Lo Isha Bonim, he hasn't yet fulfilled Peri Rivi, he is permitted to get married after Shloshim. He's allowed to get married after Shloshim. So why do we have the meaning not to get married during Sphere? That meaning should only apply to the people, all the people already have fulfilled Peri Rivi. But a young person is getting married for the first time, he didn't fulfill Peri Rivi yet. So why don't we permit him to get married? So they say, Enachinami, if you look at the tour, the original minhag to observe Avelus, based on this first line here, the first wide line, Tulam Kulam Mesa Nipesach V'Aratzer, during Sphira, they died. The original minhag only was not to take a haircut. Then developed a later minhag, not to get married either, and that's based on a different, it's not really based on Avelus. Not to get married is not really a Nihog Avelus, because Engle Yisho Banim, you're allowed to get married. So they say, because it's Le Misam Ne Milsa. Like many have a meaning that they don't want to get married the end of the month. You only get married the beginning of the month when the moon is getting bigger and bigger to represent the idea that the love should grow for each other, grow bigger and bigger. Things should get bigger, shouldn't get smaller. So there is such a meaning. So some of the Rishonim were opposed to that meaning. You're not allowed to look when you set the calendar, when you set the date for the wedding, you're not allowed to look on the calendar to see whether the moon is getting bigger or smaller, because there's a din of losa onenu. You're not allowed to think that Friday the 13th is unlucky and another day is lucky, this day is not lucky, January 1st is lucky, whatever. That's ona means is man. You're not allowed to have a bug in your head that certain times are lucky and certain times are unlucky. Certain times are holy Shabbos day is a luckier day, that's for sure. And Chodesh Adar, the Gemara says, Chodesh Adar is a lucky time for the Jewish people. And if a Jew has a court case with a non-Jew, he should try to see to it that it should take place in Chodesh Adar. Because the Tanakh says, it says in Megillah Esther, Adar is a Chodesh HaShanetbach, Miyogam and Simcha, Me'evel Leontim, the whole month is a Chodesh Shel Simcha.
In
Ovis Faket, if you have a court case with a Nochri, you shouldn't go in the beginning of till after Tisha B'Av, we assume. Because that's taka unlucky. But aside from those two, Chodesh Adar, in the first 9 days, and Chodesh Av, if a person thinks that this day is luckier than that day, that's a violation. To decide to do something or not to do something based on what the day is, calendar day, that's a violation of Los Anim. So there was a group of Rishonim who were opposed to that you're not allowed to look on the calendar. When you set the wedding date, you're not allowed to look to see, is it the beginning of the month or the end of the month? So the Rishonim defend it. They say, it's okay. You're doing it only l'simin. It's not that you think that the ziv is going to be more successful, the marriage is going to be a happier marriage because you get married at the beginning of the month. We don't think it's going to be a happy marriage. Just like the kala wears a white gown, you have white tablecloths, everything is nice. So this is a nice thing, a nice simin bracha. You get married at the beginning of the month when the moon is getting bigger and bigger, that their love for each other should grow. There's a simin. But it's not that you really think if all the halls are booked and the only way to get married at the beginning of the month is to postpone the wedding for 3 months, that's ridiculous. You don't postpone the wedding. That's what the Rabbi Socha Teichbaum, the one who wrote this sefer, Eim Abonim Smecha. So he has a collection of tshuvas. So he says, it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch that there's a meaning that you're makpid dafke. It's permissible to look on the calendar. It doesn't say you mechuyif to. You don't have to. It's permissible to look on the calendar to try to have that simet bracha also. But if you're going to postpone, all the wedding halls are booked, and the only way to get married b'tchilas chodesh to postpone a couple of months, and that's not right, then it's mamash a violation of lo sa'aneinu. You shouldn't do that.
Have certain days. Yehuda Chosid also had certain days that not make.
I don't even know. So that, and that's Simon in Yeridea, in the second Chelik Yeridea, this is Simon about Losa Nachshu, Losa Onenu. You're not allowed to assume that certain days are luckier than other days. So they say there, when should the yeshiva begin? When should this man begin? So the Ramah says this man should begin either on Rosh Chodesh, start from the beginning, or this man should begin on Tuesday. So for many, many years, the yeshiva always began the day after Labor Day. That's Tuesday. Because Tuesday is Yom Shuruch Babal Kitov. And my separation is on Monday, it doesn't say Kitov. Tuesday it says Kitov twice. So it says this man should begin on Tuesday. Or on Rosh Chodesh. So many yeshivas start on Rosh Chodesh Elul. Now the yeshiva starts, and why you? The yeshiva starts way before Labor Day, and it doesn't always start. It sometimes starts before Rosh Chodesh Elul. It starts sometime the end of August. But it's a nishma akev, the whole thing is not meyakev. Yep. So that's what the Achrayim say. The minig not to get married during Sfira is not because of Niyog Avelis. No, it's Ein Leisha Bonim is permitted to get married during Yud Beis Chodesh. And the whole Niyog Avelis is Miktsas Avelis, the same level as Yud Beis Chodesh. The reason why you don't get married is Loim Misam Nemilsa. It was a tragic period. That's when Talmidei Rebbe Akiva died. And during the Sfira period, that's when the Crusades always were, when it was the springtime. So all the Crusades began in the springtime, and they killed so many Jews at that time. That's what they say. It's not really, the Avelis is only not to take a haircut, not to get married. That's Lam Misam Nimels.
Rakita says, so what's the Kiddush? I mean, just because the Lubitari is the Lubitari all the time.
Right.
It's not like the other case where if you had Bonim, if you had Puri or Rivia, then you can clear whether you have to.
The Rambam writes that you have to learn every day. You have to learn a little bit every day. Yeah, that's a strong time. Unless that's what he's saying. Doesn't sound like it. Sounds like he's just saying Midas Chasidus. It's not a Midas Chasidus. That's really the din. Everyone is Mukhiv to learn. Wealthy or poor, whether he works for a living or he's retired, whether he's healthy or he's not healthy. Every Jewish man is Mukhiv to learn Torah every day. Yeah. So the Gemara says that Talmidei Rabbi Akiva died. How did they die? They had a Misa Roa. What's a Misa Roa? The Gemara says diphtheria, Askira. Rabbeinu thinks that the whole thing is above him. I said, what's an Askira? They were killed in the Bar Kokhba rebellion. He said, this part of the description is just, they didn't want the Romans to kill him. So when they said over to the next generation, told over what happened, so they changed it a little bit. As if there was an epidemic, and they all had diphtheria and they died. That's not what happened. Yeah. He thinks that we should not paskin like the Mishnah, that once you have a son and a daughter, you yotze, you can call it quits. We should really follow Rabbi Yeshua. A person should have more if they can put up with it. Okay, you have to have koiches. Just going to have more children and you won't be raising them, you won't be teaching them Torah. So that's not a mitzvah. The whole idea of Piravirivya is to be able to transmit Torah values, Yiddishkeit, to the next generation. Then Gemara speaks about the significance of getting married. Amar Rav Tancha, Amar Rav Chani, Loi, Kol Adam Shein Lo Ish, Shori Balo Simcha. A person, a single person, is missing Simcha, Baloi Bracha. He doesn't have a Bracha, Baloi Toivo. How do you know these three things are missing? That's talking about Dvarim. That's the Parshas Re'eh. That's about Yom Tovim. So at Yom Tov, there's a Chi of Simcha, and you should be Sameach, your wife. So the Gemara takes it a little bit out of context. The Samachta is only if you're married. If you're not married, then you're not going to be in a state of Simcha. Okay? Beloi Bracha. The Bracha is only, a person only has Brachas if he's married, because says Lanich Brach El Beisach, and again we're assuming that Beis is Uishto. We said Beis is Uishto. There's Erisin and there's Nisuin. So Erisin is Yimekadosh and Isha, the Kesef, and Nisuin is Hachnasa Lo Shusay, and Arusa is an Eishes Ish Shalom Beis Habal, and the Nisua is an Eishes Ish who is Be Beis Habal. So that's why the Gemara takes it a lot of times in Tanakh when it says Samachta Ato Uveisecha, Uveisecha means Ishto, Beis is Uishto. Because a Nesua becomes a Nesua through Hachnasa L'Rishusa. So the Gemara says that the single person is Balai Bracha. So it's based on that, the Beis Yosef quotes some Rishonim, and Hilchas Nesias Kapayim, Simen Kuf Chavches, a group of Rishonim will say, small group of Rishonim will say that if a person is single, he shouldn't do it. How can he give a Bracha to someone else? He himself is living without Bracha. He has no Bracha to to give to the others. And then the later post can point out that it says it in the Zohar. The Besesa often quotes Zohar. Heiri doesn't quote it. Heiri quotes Rishonim. And then the later post can say it says like that in the Zohar, that a single person shouldn't do. That's not the generally accepted opinion. There's a whole machlokes whether a cotton duchen zanat. There are three gemaras. One gemara says you can only duchen if hevish de cyrus, if you're a godel, you have bar mitzvah. The other gemara says you can only duchen if nishmal is a konai, if your beard already, you're so old that your beard should begin to grow. 18 or 20, 18 years old, the beard starts growing. So the Pashup shot is that a cotton can't duchen at all. So Tosis doesn't assume like that, because the third Gemara says, cotton had there, Lisa is kapov, a cotton who knows how to duchen. That's the Gersa that we have in the Gemara. Cotton had there, Lisa is kapov, a cotton before Bar Mitzvah is a cotton. He knows how to duchen, cholkon lo chumle bebeis agorin. If the kid is a kohen, so if he goes to the Beis HaGorin, he's old enough to know how to duchen, so he'll be old enough to know how to be careful with the truma, not to be metamiyat. He can give him truma, even though he's not there with his father, he can give the kid truma and rely on him. I saw him in shul this morning, or yesterday, he was duchening in shul. He's old enough to know how to duchen, so probably old enough to know how to be careful with the truma, not to cause it to be kamtameh, and he should need the truma in a state of tumah. He's old enough to know how to duchen. That's the gear that we have. Cotton had there, Lisa says, Kap. So it says a three-way steerer. Here it says a cotton can duchen. Then the Mishnah says you have to be Hevish Dei Cyrus to duchen. Then the third Gemara says you have to be Nismav Zekon, you have to be 18 years old. So Taisa says a cotton doesn't duchen on his own. You can only duchen if they're a gdolim. Because the cotton is not a bar chiyuv, he's not a really obligated in a turn to duchen. And you only duchen if you call that, if you need tzivui. Our minig is that we only duchen on yontif. Aren't the kohanim in violation of the mitzvah? Tosav Aruch, the answer is no. Amar lahem. So the Targum Unkel is right. The kohanim are only obligated to duchen when we request the bracha of them. So when the chazan says out loud, or the gabbai says, kohanim, that's a tzivui. We're instructing the kohanim, we want you to give us a bracha. So the kid is a kotnes, so you can't instruct him. See, if you have gedolim there, if you have two people who are bar mitzvah, then the kotnes can duchen along with them. But if you don't have any gedolim, the kids before bar mitzvah are going to duchen on their own, so that's not right. So a cotton, so the gemara, there's cotton, and then he says, kapo means he can duchen together with gedolim. And then when it says he has to be nismal, he's a kohen to duchen, that means he's going to duchen bekvias every single day, so that's only nismal, he's going to, we don't duchen every day, so by us, only duchen yamim toivim. So you don't have to have nismal, he's a kohen. That's what Tosfos answers. Others have the different gears in the Gemara. Our gears in the Gemara, Kotne Adeli says, Kapov, if he knows how to duchen, Cholkan lo truma beis agorin. He's old enough to know how to duchen, so he probably will know how to be careful not to eat truma in a state of tuma, and not to cause the truma to become tamir vezok. The little kids, they know how to duchen. They go under the fountain and duchen. They don't know too much about tuma v'tar. Why is it all his elders there? So there's a different gears that says in the Sifrei Zuta. The same line appears in the Gemara, appears in the Sifrei Zuta. There it says differently. Kotna Hayadeli says Kenofov, not Kapov, an extra nun. Cholkan lo trumeza. Lee says Kenofov, that's based on a pasuk in Chagai, I think, no? It says, when they built the second Beis HaMikdosh, Chagai was interrogating, quizzing the Kohanim to see if they knew the dinim, how to be careful about Tum of the Torah. So he says, Hein Yisa Yish Besar Kodesh Biknaf Bigdo. The Adayim Shniyas, the hands are Tomei Midrabanan. So if you're going to take, the Kohen's going to ask for the Truma, he's going to take it in his hands, he'll be Metamei the Truma, because Tamei Adayim Shniyas saying, and the Sheni is also Shlishi B'Truma, he'll passel it. So they used to go like this, they used to wear a long kapote jacket, then they would say, can you give me some Truma? So they would put the Truma, Hein Yisish, Besar Kodesh, B'Knaf Bigdo. They would stretch out the Kanaf, and they would have the Kotshim, they would make the stain there, begotten, okay? They get the schmaltz stains, the blood stains on the beged when they took the sarkoidish, and they would take truma like that also. So that's what it means. Kotna Adeli says, Kenofov, if the kid is old enough to understand how to be careful with truma v'tara, not to touch the truma with his bare hands, not to be metame, chokol truma beis agorin, he understands what truma v'tara is all about. So then you're allowed to give him truma. And that gives it makes better sense. The way we have Kotna Adeli says, Kapov. why just because he knows how to duchen? Why does that, how does it necessarily follow that he knows how to be careful with tumah v'tara? So the so we talk about the katan is not married. The katan is not married. So we talk about katanim duchening. So we don't really have this minik that a single guy doesn't duchen, even though it says it in the Zohar. The Zohar recommends it, and the B'tzeis quotes it from some Rishayim, but that's not our practice. Yeah. Our practice, we have in Shulchan Aruch, they have another minig that one is in Avelis, doesn't duchen. Because you have to be in a happy mood in order to give a bracha. And one is in Avelis, not in a happy mood. So that's a shadow. What do you mean? He said, by us, we only duchen on Yantif. So you only duchen on Yantif? Isn't that Avelis before Hesia? That you're not going to duchen because you're in Avelis? So maybe that minik, that's what Shlomo Levilna writes. In his Sefer Binyan Shlomo Rav Soloveitchik said he remembered that was the minik in Vilna, that the Avelim after Shloshim they would duchen. And Yud B'Shoresh they would duchen. Only Shloshim they wouldn't duchen. And even in Shloshim is also a question, does it make sense? Because we only duchen on Yantif. If Shlomo Levilna thinks that minik that's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, that one is in Avelis, doesn't duchen, that's because they used to duchen every day. So on the weekdays, you observe Avelis. You're not in a happy mood because one is in Avelis, so you shouldn't duchen. You only give a bracha if you're in a good mood. But by us, we only duchen on Yantav. It's very questionable.
They would have duchen on Shabbos during Shloshim?
Different minhagim. Different minhagim. I think Rav Soloveitchik said the more correct minig is after Shloshim he should do. He said he remembered that was the minig in Vilna. That's Rav Shlomo of Vilna. Changed the minig. He writes in the Sefer. He recommends that after Shloshim they should do. It's also a problem though. Why? It's also Avelis Befarasya. Not the duchen in Shloshim. It's also a problem Avelis Befarasya. It says in Shulchan Aruch that the minig is you don't go with Hoshinus. You don't go with Hoshinus if you're in Avelis. So Rabbi Yankiv Emden in his Sefer on Shulchan Aruch in the Morik Tzio, it's a Sefer on the Tur, and the Bais Yosef, so he raised the question, what do you mean? The person's an Avelis on Yantav or Chalamoid. Chalamoid is the same thing as Yantav. So Rabbi Yankiv Emden says, on Yantav the Oval should go with Hoshinus, just on Chalamoid it shouldn't. What's it? It's a Pella. Chalamoid is the same thing as Yantav. Chalamoid is a Chib Simcha, exactly the same as Yantav. So if there's Avelis Befes, you're not allowed to observe Avelis Befesia and Yantav. Not allowed to observe Avelis Befesia and Chalamoid. Chalamoid is the same thing as Yantav. There's no Chiyav Suda on Chalamoid. If you forget the Yalav Yav, you don't have to bench over again. But there is a mitzvah of Simcha. And there's a min that the Simcha, if someone dies, you don't observe Avelis and Chalamoid. Yeah. The questionable minik. Yeah. So that's what the Gemara quotes the Psukim, that one who's not married is lacking Simcha, lacking Brocha, and lacking Toivah. How do you know there's no Toivah? Because it says, Olnich Brocha al Tech Pesach Beis Zwishtam, Beloi Toivah, Siv Loi Toivah, Yos Adam Levadoi. Yeah. So it says, Toiv. When a person is married, then it's Toiv. When he's not married, it's Loi Toiv. But my Rava Amri, in Eretz Yisrael, they used to say, and this was in Bavel, they said, you're missing the three things, Simcha, Brocha, and Toivah. And Eretz Yisrael used to say, missing two other things, below Torah or below Choma. One in below Choma, a protective wall to protect them. When you're married, so you don't have a desire for other women, you have your wife in shame. You're not going to be chasing after other women. How do you know below Torah? A person is single as much as a person learns when he's single, his head is not so clear. After he gets married, if he's interested in learning, after he gets married, then he's going to pick up, he's going to learn even stronger. How do you know? Dichsiv, based on a pasuk in Novi, that what in Iyov, what does it say? Haymen is vasibi v'tushia v'tushia nidocha mimeni. So tushia is a reference to Torah. Torah is mateshes kacho shalodam. Ein is vasibi nasalo ezek enegdo. The wife is called as rasi. So because he's not married, that's why the learning is nidocha mimeni. He's not too successful in learning. That's why there's a Gemara in Psochim. The Gemara talks about which parties constitute a Sudas Mitzvah and which not. Why is it in Psochim? Because the din is that min HaTorah, there's a din of Bayroi, Bay Matzin, there's a din of Tashbisu. So how do you, what do you have to do to fulfill Tashbisa? So in Atara, the Gemara says, Bebitol b'alma sang. In Atara, you can say, everything should be bottled, kol chamir deikad b'shusi, should be bottled and shayin. I mean, the Rabbanan, they said it's not sufficient just to be mevatn, to make an oral declaration. He may not mean it, b'leib shalom, so we insist he has to destroy it. How do you have to destroy it? So Rabbi Yudah says, ein b'recham esel b'sreifah, and Acham say, hash b'sos b'chol dom, and it's a discussion at Tezah. How do we pass them? Do we pass like Rabbi Yudah? Do we pass like the Rabbanan? So the Mishnah, so there's a Mishnah in Psachim, I think it's Daf Mem Tes or so. So the Mishnah himself, just explaining why the discussion is himself. The Mishnah discussion in Psachim, the guy is, he lives in Washington Heights, and he's gone to the in-laws in Baltimore. He's halfway there, and then he realizes he left chametz in his apartment. So, but it's still before this man of the, he can still be mevatel chametz. So if he wants to make it to Baltimore, let's say Florida, whatever, he's driving, I don't know. If he's gonna be mevatel chametz, he'll make it to the in-laws. If he has to go back, if he has to drive back home and destroy the chametz, midrabbanan, not to rely on bittul, manatar bittul is enough. Midrabbanan said you shouldn't rely on bittul. So if you're gonna tell him to go back, he won't be able to go to where he wants to go. So the Mishnah says it depends. If he's going to a sudas mitzvah or something, he's going to fulfill a sudas mitzvah, so then he can revert back and rely on the din deraisa. If he's going just to have the sudas of shus or something, so that's not a valid cause, and then he has to go back and miss the sudas of shus. So the Mishnah and the Gemara there have a whole discussion, which parties constitute a sudas mitzvah, which is it considered, when is it considered a sudas of shus. So we usually assume that a chasen is a sudas mitzvah. So the Gemara has a wild statement there. And on Daf Mem Tes, a chasen is only a sudas mitzvah if the chasen is a tamei chacham. What's that? The mitzvah of getting married is only a tamei chachamim. How can that be? The mitzvah of getting married is on everybody. It's not only tamei chachamim. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Maharam Rutenberg came up with an eitzah. The Sudas Chasen is a Sudas Mitzvah if he's a Tamei Chacham, even if they don't say any Shivas V'Shish Bachas at all. But if he sings Shivas V'Shish Bachas at the Chasen, you can convert it into a Sudas Mitzvah because you make it into a Sudas Haidoya. Sudas Haidoya is a Parsha Nuchamish, Karbon Taida. You want to express your gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever it is, a person wants to express his gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you throw a party and you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave you this Yeshua, that everything worked out well for you. So that's what they quote from the Maharam Rutenberg. If a Tamei Chacham gets married, it's automatically Sudas Chasana, it's automatically a Sudas Rishus. And if he's not a Tamei Chacham, then it's only a Sudas Mitzvah. If Tamei Chacham gets married, it's automatically a Sudas Mitzvah. And if a non-Tamei Chacham gets married, then you can make it into a Sudas Mitzvah by singing Shivas Hizich Bachas and converting it into a Sudas Haidoya. So they quote that Maharam Rutenberg in Hilchus Chanukah, that the Sudas that you make on Purim, it says, Lasas in the main Mishnah V'Simcha. On Purim there is a Chiyav Suda. On Chanukah there is no Chiyav Suda. But if you're having a party anyway, you have a Chagig anyway, you can convert it into a Sudas Mitzvah if you sing Shivas Hizich Bachas, Takarish Bachu. You sing Alanisim, so you make it into a Sudas Haidoya. So why is that so? Why is it that when a Tamei Chacham gets married, it's a Sudas Mitzvah, even if you don't sing Shivas Hizich Bachas, even if you don't convert it into a Sudas Haidoya? Why is it only a Sudas Mitzvah when a Tamei Chacham gets married? So I think it's based on this Gemara. Ashori Belish is Shori Beloi Torah. As much Torah as he learned, he's going to, after he gets married, if he plans to continue learning, if he's going to go get a job, he's going to be learning less than before. Maybe even with the job, he'll be learning more than before. So if he's a person who's interested in learning, and he plans to learn more after he gets married, so his learning is going to be stronger after he gets married, so it's like a new Kabbalah Satayra. So that's what the Gemara says. There's a Machloikis, there's a Gemara in Beitz, a Gemara in Psochen, there's a Machloikis Satanayim, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, how are you supposed to celebrate Pesach in Sukkos? Are you supposed to have elaborate meals? Or not necessarily. So we pass a chetzel Hashem, a chetzel Lachem. You have to have a little bit of each. Then the Gemara says, Shavuos, all the Tanoim agree you have to have elaborate meals, because Yom Shenitna B'Torah, the Kabbalah Kabbalah Sator, you're mechuyif to have elaborate meals. Because it says in the Chumash, on the occasion of Maim HaSinai, Vayechzus Halakim, Vayochlo Vayishtu. And the Ramban quotes a medrash. Rashi quotes one medrash that was improper. Vayechzus Halakim, El Atzila Bnei Yisrael Lo Shalach Yodam. Vayechzus Halakim means, on Maimon Hasina, they were eating Cracker Jacks. They were eating popcorn. They were having a good time. Vayochlo Vayishtu. They were nibbling, they were gnashing in the middle of Maimon Hasina. And they deserved the punishment. So the Pasuk is condemning them. And the Ramban quotes a different medrash that praises them. No, Vayechzus Salakim, the covered Kabbalah Satar, Vayechlu Vayishta, they made Nikansha some Suda Legemra Shal Torah. When you make a Siyum, on a Mesichta, say the Mishnahs, whatever, you have to make a party to celebrate. So if a Talmid Chacham is getting married and is interested in furthering his Torah learning after he gets married, so we assume that this is like a new Kabbalah Satar. And the Gemara says, on Shavuos, everybody agrees you have to have elaborate meals, Yom Shenit Matorah. And then the Gemara says, on Purim also, everyone agrees. So some Rishonim had the Girsa, the Shiltas had the Girsa. The Rishonim quote, the Shiltas had the Girsa. Purim is also Yom Shenit Matorah. Why is Purim Yom Shenit Matorah? Kimu v'kiblu, there was a second Kabbalah Satorah. Not only on the occasion of the initial Kabbalah Satorah, is there an Indian to make a Sudas Mitzvah. If you have a second Kabbalah Satar, so if the fellow, the Talmid Chacham, is getting married, his marriage is a new Kabbalah Satar. So that's why, by a Talmid Chacham, it's a Sudas Mitzvah, even if you don't sing Shiras Hashem Shbachas. It doesn't have to be made, you don't have to convert it into a Sudas Hagdoy. It's a Sudas L'Kovid Kabbalah Satar.
They say Baskoyim L'Kohen also is a Baskoyim L'Kohen is also a Sudas Mitzvah.
Bas Koyen marries not a Koyen, she doesn't marry a Koyen, then the Gemara says it's not going to work out well. It's not going to work out well. So if a Bas Koyen marries a Koyen, it's okay. But if a Bas Koyen does marry a Koyen, she marries a Yisro, then it's going to be a problem. That's on that same daf, yeah. So there is.
When you get married, it's less likely you're going to be much later.
Okay. So the Gemara says it depends on Eretz Yisrael or on Bubble. If he's someone who's going to support him, parents or in-laws are going to support him to learn, or today we have Kodalim, so they support him to learn. So he
will. Mir Yerushalayim, that's the minhag.
That what?
After the wedding, goes to Mir Yerushalayim.
Oh, that's it? Yeah. Okay, sure. Yeah, it's the minhag. Okay. So there's a Gemara in Brachas in the first parak. The Gemara says, those who participate, and then Mesudas Chasam, and Mesamchai is acting improperly. And then a Mesudas Chasan, and he is Mesameachim, so he'll be Zeche to Zeche the Torah. Why Zeche the Torah? Mida Kenegan Mida. Because the Suda Sachasana is a Suda Lukovit Kabbalah Satorah. So since he's celebrating with the Chasan who plans to learn in Miri Shiva after he gets married, so he's participating in the Suda Lukovit Liman Torah. So that's why he'll be Zeche the Torah. Yeah. Then the Gemara says, one is single, is Shoret Balai Chayma. He'll be missing a protective wall. When a person is married, some people, when they get married, so they go to work and they wear a marriage band in work. So all the women in the office should know that they're taken already. They should. Sometimes it helps, sometimes not. They shouldn't start off with them. So it's not a bit. When they come home, they take off the marriage band. He knows he's married. His wife knows that he's married, but he wants to wear the marriage band in the office, so the women in the office won't start up with him. So that's when a person is married. He has a chayma. He has a protective wall. The next more stuck in the gear of halacha lamaisa chayron. Okay, we'll save it for next week. There is a mishnah in brachas, the same mishnah appears in the gila, the exact same mishnah. Ha'ayim yivarchu chatoivim mishaskim also. It's so the Miri has six pshatim on that mishnah. So Rashi already has two pshatim. A very very unclear mishnah. So Rashi has one pshat, Ha'omer, one who says, only tzaddikim should daven, should praise God. Rishoyim have no right. If you're not a tzaddik, you have no right to praise God. Yivarchu chatoivim, only good people, only tzaddikim should praise God. So that's Meshaskamos, you tell him that's not proper. Then Rashi has another pshat, Ha'omer yivarchu chatoivim, only one who ate a real meal of bread, kedei sviya, should bench. That's the din manatar. If he ate kedesvi, if he didn't eat kedesvi, he's not mechuyev to bench. So one who says, Haimer, he says to Hashem, Yivarchu chatoivim, those who are really satiated should bench. those who are starving shouldn't bench. So that's Mishas Kamosa, because Midirabbana, they made a takana that if you eat a kazayis and bread, you have to bench. And we don't follow the din derais, and they only have to bench if you ate kadisa. So those are the two pshatim that Rashi quotes. Then the Miri quotes another four pshatim. So one of the additional pshatim that he quotes is, Ha'omer, I tell another person, that I'm telling the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Ha'omer, I tell my friend, the good angel should give you a blessing, Yivachucha Toifim, the angel should bless you. So Meshaskim also, you're not allowed to ask the angels for any blessings. You ask a tzaddik for a blessing, you ask a boss of a dom, but you don't ask the angels for a blessing. So on Friday night, many people sing Shalom Aleichem. So they say, Yibachun Elu Shalom. So they quote Rabbi Chaim Elojan and said, you shouldn't say Yibachun Elu Shalom because of that Mishnah. You're not allowed to ask the angels for any blessings. Same thing in the Slichas. They say Malach Rachmim at the end of the Slichas. There's a paragraph. The Malachim should bring up prayers to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. The Gemara says when a person davens bechidus, he needs the angels to present the tefillas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he davens betzilah, he doesn't need the angels. The tefillas go directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rabbi Chaim Elojan said the Chassam Sofer also has like that. They say the slicha so quickly, so he can't say everything anyway. So the Chassam Sofer says he always leaves out that paragraph. They also have to make an announcement. No one should say. But he personally left it up. He shouldn't ask the angels for anything. So that's a shaila. But into everybody else, but it says in today, so Hamalach Golosim call it Baruch Hasanarim. Kerbehem Shmi Vashem. He said, you're asking the Malach. Baruch Hasanarim. So how can the Rishonim say that you're not allowed to ask the angels? So they quote from Rav Velvel Soloveitchik that that's not what it says in the Pasuk. Yankov Avinu says, where is it? Elokim, how does it begin? Where is the pasuk here? Yaakov Avinu gave a blessing to Yosef. Vayivorech es Yosef right before Shlishi. Vayivorech es Yosef. Vayomahu Elokim. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam did all these wonderful things for me. He shepherded me, and he sent the Malach HaGolos. And then he says, Yivarech HaSanorim goes back on Ho'elakim. Doesn't go back on the Malach. HaMalach HaGolos Mikol Ra, that's the beginning of the Pasuk. But the psukim and the chumash, sometimes you have two psukim, but in English it would be one sentence. We would have a semicolon in the middle, but we wouldn't have a period in the middle. So here also, the Rabbi Dovid Soloveitchik says, those who insist like that you're not allowed to ask malachim for a bracha, so even though the pasuk begins on malach agor lo si, this is a hemshech of the previous pasuk. Well, lekim asher salcha avoysa lefanav. Well, he sent the Malach to take care of me. Then we say, well, the Kim, Yivarech Hesanor, the Baruch Shalom should give a bracha to Menashe Ve'Ephraim. That's what he's supposed to have in mind. A lot of times we start Hamalach HaGoylosi. That's the beginning of the Pasuk, but it's really the middle of a sentence. So Rav Dovid Soloveitchik said, you should have in mind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Yivarech Hesanor, not the Malach. And others disagree with all of this. They say they think that it is permissible to ask Malach for brachas. But that was what he quote the Vilna Gaon and Rabbi Chaim Elojan. They had an insistence. You shouldn't say Baruchun Elu Shalom on Friday night. Others don't say Tzeischem L'Shalom. The Malachim just came. He's chasing them out already. He's already saying Tzeischem L'Shalom. So I remember when Rav Henkin passed away in the middle of the summer. So I was on vacation in the mountains, and some of the I never saw Rav Henkin. I never saw Rav Henkin in person. So some of the Rabbanim and our bungalow colony were going into New York, so they took me also. So I remember they were telling over Hanhogas the Rav Henkin has, and he said the last few years of his life, he wasn't healthy enough to walk the shul. So they used to have a minyan in his home every week on Friday night. So every single week, he would say the same thing when the people would leave his home. He said, when you say Shalom Aleichem, And you say Tzeischem L'Shonim, you're telling the Malachi Chol Tzeischem L'Shonim. So first say Shalom Aleichem before the Malachim will come to call it Shabbos. Tzeischem L'Shonim is not on the Shabbos day of Malachim, that's on the weekday Malachim. So he said he would say it every single week to the people who are kind enough to make a minyan in his home. They were always the same people. So they heard it already the last 51 weeks. He would say it every week, the same thing. You should say Tzeischem L'Shonim, but it's not for the Shabbos day of Malachim.
I heard when I started, I told people that started with the Golem today. It's that what we say, the Shmerecho, the Neto, the Alecho, so they go to the Quran, move back and forth. He says, that's what he says in Sias Chofen. It's not Sias Kapayim, you read in Sias Chofen. Where's the Lachof? It's Sias Chofen.
Where I was faxing to.